Don Tony here. Monday Night Raw just ended. It is May 29th, 2023. How was your weekend of pro wrestling? Did you get enough of it? From Impact Wrestling to Night of Champions to Battleground to Double or Nothing. Loaded weekend of pro wrestling. I hope you all enjoyed it, whatever you watched. We're definitely going to talk about it tomorrow. You know what? Why not? Quick plug. Tomorrow night, 10.05 p.m. Eastern, Kevin and I will be recapping and reviewing Night of Champions. Might have a little bit of conversation about NXT Battleground as well, only because we're going to do the live recording at 10.05 tomorrow night. That'll be right after NXT. Now, this week, as far as NXT and Dynamite goes, very hush-hush. As far as what we're going to get, Dynamite, they have advertised literally nothing. So we're going into Wednesday. I'm sure they'll make up for it on Tuesday and they'll post a bunch of updates. But as of right now for NXT, there's only two things that are announced. One of them is this weaponized cage match that JC Jane and Gigi Dolan are going to have. I know, you know, for a lot of us, it's the feud that we never asked for. But tomorrow night, we're also going to find out who the mystery attacker is. The woman who attacked Wendy Chu, Roxanne Perez, Sol Ruka, and a few others as well. Now, over the weekend, yeah, we'll talk about this picture on Wednesday, because don't forget, Wednesday night, Dynamite. We're going to get into NXT. We're going to get into AEW. We're going to talk about Battleground. We're going to talk about Double or Nothing. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Las Vegas fans and the lack of energy yesterday. How many of you pay attention to the crowd? How many of you saw this?
Hayes, back up. Oh, my God.
Well, that was Battleground. I'm jumping one step ahead here. This is what I was talking. Actually, you know, you go back and you listen to that. Listen to the energy. Listen to the, I mean, Hayes, yeah, I know it's just,
oh my God.
I mean,
Hayes, back up.
Okay, that's enough. I mean, the spear was crazy, but, you know, the fans were not feeling Sabu. Look at the crowd reaction to this. Check this out.
Shockwaves reverberate.
Just look at the crowd.
Of both men, Sabu. Launching
I mean,
chair
nothing.
Sabu's the referee.
Literally nothing. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about, to me, which might be match of the year so far, Dijakovic, Dijak and Ilya Dragunov. That was epic. My God, you know, I definitely have a lot to say there. Tiffany Stratton winning the NXT Women's Championship. Yeah, we'll talk about this. Oh, it's only half a blackface. Oh, we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll try to make sense of this. Is it November? Is it Thanksgiving? I don't know. God bless those people that are trying to make excuses for this empty seat area. It's okay. AEW got the money in their pocket. We'll talk about this controversial tweet by Rhea Ripley that led to Buddy Matthews, tweeting and deleting something. Some people actually think that Buddy Matthews thinks that Rhea Ripley and Dominic are actually doing a nasty. Oh, man, you could tell that these people are not very experienced in the relationship department. We'll talk about Arn Anderson, you know, eating a little bit too much raspberry pie last night. We're going to talk about this moment, people trying to make excuses for this. Yeah, this is from a fan cam. Watch closely. Oh, I've fallen and I can't get up. Yeah, we'll talk about that. I actually got some news about that. And how can we leave out this? How can we leave out this? I have some interesting things to talk about with regards to Eddie Kingston's graphics in this video game. And you know what? I'm actually going to defend this fan Wednesday. You know, there was a decent number of fans that were at Double or Nothing and watching NXT on their phones, and they were getting lambasted. You're at Double or Nothing. How dare you watch NXT on your phones? Anybody that's old like me that remembers going to Yankee games or Met games and you watch the other game on your little black and white portable TV, I mean, come on. People out there, you got to get out a little bit more. Jesus. So we have a loaded Wednesday Night Dynamite show. A little note for our channel members. I uploaded the last four episodes of Wednesday Night Dynamite. I didn't realize it's already been a full month that we no longer do live Wednesdays here on YouTube. And little by little, I mean, the cat is out of the bag. Little by little, a lot of the YouTube is going to be going to channel members only. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of people out there, you know, I appreciate your support and everything, but if you want to go check out other podcasts live, there's a little phrase, you snooze, you lose. And, you know, if you don't want to, you know, show up here live, go to DonTony.com. It'll be available for everybody there. But for here, if I'm going to stay up and lose loads of sleep and put in a lot of work just to be people's second, third, fourth choice, nah, don't need it that bad. So, so Wednesday Night Dynamite will be online from now on for channel members right after it ends, ad-free, of course. So we got a loaded Wednesday, and Kev, tomorrow night, we're going to record the recap and review, and we'll post that on DonTony.com as well. But for tonight, we're going to talk about three things. Well, really four. We're going to get into some ratings for the past 7 days. We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw tonight, which I got to be honest with you, I thought was a decent show. I mean, if you could get past the annoying noise on social media, oh, AJ Styles, SmackDown wrestler, what was the purpose of the draft? We know that Raw and SmackDown are run by one company. We know that it's storyline. We're getting a good fucking match tonight. You mean to tell me that I'm going to turn down seeing AJ Styles wrestle one night on Raw in a tag team, and I'm not, no, 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 the draft is a draft is a draft. Says who? Yeah, I laugh at these morons that talk about, oh, Seth Rollins has a secondary title. It's a trinket. It is garbage. And we already talked about AJ Styles explaining why, as far as you look at the overall scope of things, of course it's a secondary to Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns has held the championships, one for 1,000+ days. The other one is approaching CM Punk's, you know, run of 434 days. When you have a championship, look at Gunther. You know, Gunther has held that title for a year. So, of course, the Intercontinental Championship feels like it's more worthy than the United States Championship because of the lineage that Gunther has built. But at the end of the day, saying, oh, they just created a secondary title and gave it to Seth Rollins. Breaking news, we're watching fucking entertainment. We're watching sports entertainment. Roman Reigns isn't really shooting, pinning people, and keeping those belts alive. He has those belts because WWE Creative is keeping the belts on him. So to turn around and to just, with those digs over and over and over again, you know, and then the funny thing is, you know, in 2-3 months when Seth Rollins really starts going balls ahead with that championship, and then you go 6 months from now and it starts feeling like, hey, you know what? He's putting a lot more in this championship than Gunther does. I laugh when people say, oh, you know, Orange Cassidy's had the greatest run in recent memory in AEW. Yeah, that's because Tony Khan decides to put him on TV every week. That's because Tony Khan has decided he is going to have the belt for an extended amount of time. That is because Tony Khan is having him wrestle major stars and not Joe Schmuck that is in Elevation. So, of course, it's all about perception. Pro wrestling is about perception. It is sports entertainment. And I see these nimrods online ripping the championship, ripping AJ Styles because he's on Raw. Eat a Snickers and shut up. Seriously, eat a fucking Snickers. Tonight's Raw was not bad. I thought it was a decent Raw. As Corey Graves said, the forecast tonight calls for internet tears. Everyone get an umbrella. Internet tears tonight. Why? Hey, who was the show that told you weeks ago that Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are going to be your next tag team champions? Oh, Who was the show that told you that Jake Cargill was going to lose the TBS championship? Who's the show that told you that Cody Rhodes is going to lose due to referee stoppage? And referee stoppage, remember the conversation Kevin and I had? Brock, are you going to be happy with a referee stoppage? It's 1-1. You know, we could go on and on and on with all of the calls. Riddle versus Gunther, Imperium versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean, a lot of what happened tonight has actually been building for 6 weeks. It's just that people have caught on to it late. Like, oh, I got a breaking scoop. I got a breaking scoop, everybody, that the next feud for Gunther is going to be Riddle. Ah! No! Really? Are you serious? By the way, Riddle's already qualified for the Money in the Bank. I'm sure we'll have a little bit extra. You know, there'll be some strong wins tonight along with those internet tears.
He didn't have to have a qualifying match to be in the match.
Eat a Snickers. That's what I have to say to that. Tonight's episode I thought was good. But as we said moments ago, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, the new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Hey, it's Ronda's first run. And I popped when Ronda said, you know what? We deserve a little bit of respect. And these nuts right here show it. You know, she actually said these nuts. Slang for genitalia. It's slang for other things as well. But that's basically where Ronda was going with it. I'm happy for Shayna Baszler, man, because Shayna Baszler, very underutilized. I think her tag team run with Nia Jax was a lot less appreciated because there was so much focus negatively on Nia Jax. I am a big Shayna Baszler fan. And you know what? Shayna Baszler actually is pretty good. And Ronda Rousey, yeah, she hasn't clicked. Her teaming with Shayna Baszler, that's where Shayna Baszler comes in. You know, we talk about tag teams, and some tag teams work beautifully because some wrestlers may not be equipped to have a singles run. Alexa Bliss, perfect example. Liv Morgan, maybe a year or two ago. There are women on the women's roster that fit better as a tag team. Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville has turned out to be a pretty entertaining tag team. And the reason why that tag team even formed is because Carmella, you know, became pregnant and she could no longer team up with Chelsea Green. You know, so sometimes, you know, being a tag team, you know, it's not a negative thing. And if anything, it'll hide a little bit of Ronda Rousey that is not necessarily clicking in 2023. So congrats to the new tag team champions. Tonight on Raw, we saw something else tonight that I thought was pretty funny. You saw this match in this year having a tag team match. I think everybody was focused on Javier Bernal's tag team partner, this guy. If you looked at him close, well, you really couldn't see his face close, but the best way for anybody on audio only, if you didn't see Raw tonight, you would have thought that if Matt Hardy would have fucked Roosh, had a baby, a love child, and then starved that love child for 30 days, that's pretty much what you had tonight. I honestly don't understand why he was dressed the way he is. But for those that didn't know who Javier Bernal's opponent is, that is actually someone that was signed not too long ago. He's going by Suave. He's going by Suave, and if you look at his outfits, he don't look nut. I don't know what the 1990s Matt Hardy look, why that was done tonight. I don't know if it was a rib, but you know, I'm looking at him, and I'm like, wait, I know the tattoos on the arm look a little familiar, but yeah, that was kind of funny tonight. And yes, I did see Veer stumble a little bit when he went into the ring. Hey, he corrected himself almost immediately. Shit happens. How did you all get a kick out of Kevin Owens wearing a We The Ones t-shirt tonight? Kevin Owens, you know, people are saying, you know, maybe a little bit too much on the rag, maybe complaining a little bit too much. Imperium comes out. It's an unwritten rule. You don't just come out here. You don't. I mean, you almost feel like this is one of those Snickers commercials coming. Tell me it doesn't. Tell me that you can't, you foresee, you or tell me you couldn't see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, because they do a lot of those WWE commercials for Snickers. Could you picture them just like in the room and Kevin Owens is just like complaining about every little thing? Eat a Snickers. You're not yourself. But, you know, there was a lot of comedy tonight. You know, a lot of ragging on Giovanni Vinci. Giovanni Vinci. What did they call Ludwig Kaiser? They called him Slender Man. And they called Giovanni Vinci Baldy. And got a Baldy's chant. And it was funny because after Imperium defeated Alpha Academy tonight, you had Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens on commentary. And Kevin Owens is like, wipe the sweat off of your bald head. I could see it. And you literally, Giovanni Vinci wiped the sweat off. It was pretty funny the way it went down. But it was, I thought it was a good night. You know, setting up Imperium versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is definitely a good thing. I mean, we talked about it. It was right after the draft. If you kind of remember, it was right after the draft that we had Imperium take on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Non-title match. Who won that match? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And if you remember when we did the recap that night, we were confused. Like, wait, they're going to have a feud. Why are they right off the bat? I mean, maybe you do a DQ. Maybe you do some type of a count out. You know, we got a count out match tonight. I honestly, I'm a little confused with the Bronson Reed treatment tonight. First of all, with the count out. Sami Zayn's hair is not thinning. His hair was cut because of the pilgrimage that he did to Mecca this weekend. And a little quick plug, if you go check out the Saturday edition of the Don Tony Show, I got into what Sami Zayn did. Mustafa Ali went as well. Big pilgrimage to Mecca. Talked about it in detail. So that's why you can't miss a show at all. So, but getting back to, you know, countouts, we had JD McDonagh and Dolph Ziggler tonight. You kind of had this feeling coming. And it's interesting because if you look at the WWE Universe, you know, and listen, we're not talking about AEW tonight. That's for Wednesday. But I will say this one thing. When MJF cut his post, you know, the media scrum yesterday, his interview, you know, being interviewed by the media, you know, he made a comment talking about how the internet wrestling community is like 7% of the entire wrestling audience. And that actually is true. We've had conversations about that for a long time now. You know, it's just that the noise online is from a very small group of people. Oh, I got 500 likes. Yeah, that's still 500 people compared to 700,000-800,000 that are watching the TV product. So if you actually dissect it, it is a very, very, very small number online. You pay attention to social media. When AJ Styles was announced to team up with Seth Rollins tonight, you look at social media, this was the worst fucking thing in the world. It's so goddamn stupid, the fucking draft. What the fuck is he on? But if you hear the live crowd, they're into it. They're having a good time. Now we do the opposite with JD McDonagh. You go on social media, oh, Judgment Day, Judgment Day. Holy shit, he's Judgment Day. That's it. He's Judgment Day. Do it now. And he comes out, and there's no reaction yet because 94%, 95% of the WWE universe does not watch NXT, does not follow JD McDonagh's career. He's got to get acclimated and get adjusted to the main roster and get domesticated, and then the fans have to click to the guy. You know, they expect like pomp and circumstance, like the IWC is supposed to reflect what you see on TV, and it's so far removed, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. But I had a problem tonight with Bronson Reed's loss. Now, for those that don't know, we had two Money in the Bank qualifying matches tonight. One was Ricochet versus The Miz. Ricochet advances. Great match, and I really am appreciating the just casual wrestling fan and the complainers that are now starting to acknowledge, you know what, Miz is putting out bangers. not four-star matches, but Miz is putting out good performances. He is, you know, really consistently lately, quietly, you know, really showing, you know, the, even the biggest detesters of the Miz. This guy can actually work a little bit in the ring, and he's got great chemistry with Ricochet, no question about it. Tonight's match was a good match, and Ricochet gets the win, so Ricochet advances to Money in the Bank. As I said earlier, Riddle advances to Money in the Bank without having a qualifying match, which is fine. Not every wrestler should qualify, have to have a qualifying match. It's just like the Royal Rumble. Not everybody needed to have a match.
Oh, why does he have to have a qualifying match to be in the Royal Rumble?
Well, maybe because suspension of disbelief, that person doesn't deserve to be in the Royal Rumble.
Why does he get an automatic spot?
Because he's on a much higher level. So anyway, we had Shinsuke Nakamura take on Bronson Reed. And I have no problem with Shinsuke Nakamura advancing. It's a little confusing with Shinsuke because if you watch since they've done the draft, he loses to Finn Balor. He wins a match. He loses a match. He wins a match. He loses a match. You know, it feels like some of that momentum has been taken away. And then tonight he takes on Bronson Reed. Now, he moves out of the way. Bronson Reed attempts the tsunami. No water in the pool. Shinsuke moves out of dodge. Bronson Reed hits Matt. Then Shinsuke hits a Kinshasa, a kick to the back of the head, and Bronson Reed rolls out of the ring. And it was weird because if you go back and you watch it, like, I thought Bronson Reed was getting counted out. But Shinsuke interrupts the ref and does a dive to the outside of the ring, and it looked like it hurt Shinsuke more than it hurt Bronson Reed. But I was like, okay, all right, you know, it, now maybe, you know, you do that and a Kinshasa outside the ring, and then you do a count-out victory. All right, you know, Shinsuke wins, count-out, fine. But no, Bronson Reed rolls back in at the count of nine and is greeted by a second Kinshasa. Shasa, I keep, you know, tongue twister. And he gets pinned. And I'm saying to myself, look, of course Bronson Reed was going to lose. I mean, it's not going to be an undefeated deal, you know, and I'm sure he's probably gotten a loss or two along the way. But tonight, it just felt so matter of fact, especially the way he rolled in at the count of nine. You know, it wasn't like he was, if you go look back, he was a burst of energy. And got greeted, you know, by Shinsuke, and he gets pinned. And I don't know, I kind of disagreed with that, to be honest with you. Seth Rollins opening up the show tonight, doing it in a little bit of retro Shield fashion, from the top of the rafters, coming through the crowd. Crowd is just eating it up, and he enters the ring. We get streamers, and, you know, the crowd is serenading Seth Rollins. It's getting the "you deserve it" chance by the fans. Gets on the mic, says, took a long time. It was a long journey, but it was worth it. Monday Night Raw finally has a champion that wants to be here, that is going to be here, and a champion that is ready for a fight. You get the "thank you, Seth" chance, and then AJ Styles shows up. And it was funny because the fans got a little bit of confused with AJ Styles talking to Seth Rollins. Because AJ Styles says he came to Monday Night Raw, even though he's a SmackDown guy, to say congratulations. And Seth Rollins looks at AJ and he says, you know, after the beating that I gave you at Night of Champions, you've earned this. And he gives him a handshake. The crowd is enjoying it. But then AJ Styles proceeds to say, you know, I heard the crowd earlier saying, you deserve it. You don't deserve it. And the crowd is giving AJ Styles so much heat. I'm like, no, that's not what he's trying to do. And then AJ Styles like, no, you didn't deserve it. You earned it. And then the crowd is like, oh, okay. Everything's okay in the world till the Judgment Day come out. Judgment Day hit the ring. Finn Balor, Damian Priest, they're on the mic. They're getting sick of all this celebration tonight. Rhea Ripley reminds everyone that they are the ones who run Monday Night Raw. They'll claim that they could beat Seth Rollins. Dominic claims he could beat Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins starts laughing, starts cracking up. Then we get a challenge. AJ Styles and Seth Rollins versus any two members of Judgment Day. And later on, when Judgment Day cut a promo in the back right before the match, everybody was dressed to wrestle. So they're trying to tease that Rhea Ripley was going to be in the match. We all figured it out way back to the Rhea Ripley Tozawa days that WWE ain't doing intergender matches. I don't know why anybody in the chat is saying that Dominic Mysterio is getting a forced push. Dominic Mysterio is part of a group right now. He's getting massive heel heat. He doesn't have any gold. He's not main eventing anywhere. He is being more of a chicken shit than anything else. He is dum-dum. He is dum-dum. He's doing great. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, people were losing their shit. Oh, he's going to win Money in the Bank, and he's going to challenge for the title. I'm like, says who? Boozer? Boozer? Please. Please, that shit, that to me, that's like, I don't know, it's almost like a, you know, when you get a disease in you, or COVID, it's like long COVID. Like now every week I got to hear, did you see what Boozer reported? Yeah, 95% of what this person posts is wrong. And a lot of it is sausage, you know, and I got to hear people every week now. So Dominic Mysterio is doing just fine, in my opinion. But we get the tag match set up for tonight. And you know, I got to give a shout out to somebody on Twitter that I follow that is really good. His name is Abu Malik. Abu Malik. He actually was posting a little retrospect. I don't think I can play the audio. I might get copyright. WWE gave me a hard time last week with the top 25 countdown. Remember the top 25 greatest debuts in history? They gave me a little bit of shit about that. I had to edit two or three things from there. That is Seth Rollins from 2005 to the present. Pretty interesting to see how his career has evolved, especially over the last 6-7 years. I think people don't realize that from 2020 on is when Seth started doing this really extravagant stuff. You know, now, you know, people think like he's dressing a lot like Becky Lynch, but, you know, Seth Rollins, you know, listen, I saw the news reports that the Night of Champions match was going to be the first match on the card because Seth had to fly back so he could go back and film the movie, and then he'll be on Raw. And I'm saying to myself, do these jackasses realize that it's on a Sunday and union rules that they don't film movies on Sundays? What do you think he was going to do? Work this morning and then on Memorial Day and then hop on a plane at 11:30 this morning? Oh, God, you got to stop listening to those people. Seth Rollins is going to be on this show every week. He might not appear once in a blue moon. Remember the morons who told you that Roman Reigns was going to appear on very few premium live events this year? If I'm correct, he's only missed one. He is scheduled for Money in the Bank. He is scheduled for SummerSlam. In fact, from the schedule that was sent to me, I'm looking at it right now, he's only going to miss 2 to 3 TV appearances between now and the middle of August. You know, Roman Reigns may not wrestle every single week, but he's going to appear quite a bit between now and the middle of August. So, you know, Seth Rollins, you know, the guy wants to be the leader of the company. The guy puts in 150%. The guy has earned this World Heavyweight Championship. If you truly appreciate good wrestling and commitment and hard work and effort, you know, then you may not like Seth Rollins. You may not, you know, he may not be one of your favorites, but you want someone like that to be the focal point of Raw. Somebody that truly, truly wants, you know, you feel it. It doesn't feel like if Hogan back in the day would have cut those promos like, I want to keep build this place and bring it better than what it was before, brother. And you would have been like, oh, motherfucking full of shit. He's trying to get a payday. You know, but you feel it with Seth Rollins that he really wants to put in this effort. You got to commend that. You got to commend it. There's not that many people that put in that kind of hard work and effort. So we mentioned Becky moments ago. Two things to bring up. First of all, Trish and Becky showed up tonight wearing their gear from Night of Champions, which was cool. You know, only thing Trish was wearing, big boots. So anyway, Trish comes out there and she cuts a promo and she's got, I don't know, you know, it was funny. She had like, I guess it was a bruise on her chin. And if you look at it, it's like, if I wanted to take like, it almost looked so perfect. It looked like it was a goatee. Like if I was decided to grow back my goatee and had like 5 o'clock shadow, it was like so perfect. You would have thought that she had like half a goatee, but it was the color of bruise. But she comes out there. She's got something on her chin. She says, no one should be surprised that she beat Becky. That's what the greatest of the great do. She hopes that Becky can now crawl back into her hole. And she didn't need help at Night of Champions, but Zoe wanted to help. Someone that reminds her of herself. So Trish brings out Zoe Stark. Zoe gets on the mic, claiming that she came to WWE to make a statement. She could have taken the long, hard road like Becky Lynch did, but why not take the road led by Trish Stratus? Trish is humble. She is kind. She is giving. And now that she's got the floor, she has one last thing to say. Thank you, Trish. Becky Lynch's music hits. Becky wants to fight. Becky challenges Trish. We're both dressed. Let's hit that bell. Let's restart this match and let's finish this now. Zoe Stark tries to get at Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch fights her off for a little bit, gets a couple of shots into Trish. Did not look very good on TV, let's be honest. And then Zoe Stark gets the better of Becky. Hits Becky with the Z360 and then holds up Becky Lynch while Trish nails her in the face one more time. And Becky is laid out. Trish is gone. Where Trish goes from here, I am not sure. There's no word. Few people were asking me tonight, do I think Trish Stratus will manage Zoe Stark? Well, I could tell you this. Late tonight, they announced next week, we get the first two women's Money in the Bank qualifiers, the two matches. One match is going to be Natty versus Zoe Stark. If you look, no sign of Trish in the background. So I say no. I personally think Trish may be done for now. She might quietly fade away. I still am not sold on the SummerSlam idea. However, you don't want to know something? I'll say it now. You know, because we've said so many matches in the last couple of months that are now starting to develop. Maybe they'll end up doing Zoe Stark and Trish versus Lita and Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. What do you all think about that? Do you like that idea? I wouldn't have too much of a problem with that because at least Becky and Zoe Stark are there to pick up the slack if the Hall of Famers kind of like, you know, have some issues. I thought Trish did a fine job in Saudi Arabia. Did better than I expected her to do. Big payday, you know, kind of like gives you that extra incentive, like, you know, keep thinking about it, you know, and she earned it. She earned it. Last year, Lita got the payday. Everybody was saying Becky, Trish, SummerSlam. I said all along it was going to be Saudi Arabia. There was no way Trish wasn't getting that payday. She got the payday. So we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow with Kev about, you know, Night of Champions. But so one match is going to be Zoe Stark versus Natty next week. And the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because of the other match that is going down next week. There you go. Becky Lynch versus Sonya Deville. Now you got to say to yourself, okay, Becky is in one match. Zoe Stark is in one match. Either they're both advancing, or neither one are advancing. Now, you look at Money in the Bank. and you think about the women's division, think about who could be in this ladder match. Do you see Natty and Sonya Deville in the match? Or do you see Zoe Stark and Becky in the match? I kind of see Becky and Zoe Stark. Remember, I just thought about it. Didn't Becky very recently say that she wants to win Money in the Bank? That, I don't know, I don't recall her. Maybe she did have that accomplishment before, but I do remember recently her doing something online saying that she wants to win Money in the Bank. So she could very well be in this match. The more I think about it, the more I think it's going to happen. So, all right. So, as we were talking earlier, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they come out. Kevin Owens wearing the Usos shirt. Sami Zayn touting how they won and throwing shade to Roman Reigns. You know, you may be the greatest of all time. You may headline the next five WrestleManias being in the WWE Hall of Fame, but one thing that you'll never be able to take away is the fact that we won. And even on social media, you know, we won the war. So Imperium comes out. And here's where Kevin Owens, a little bit over the top, really, really upset that they interrupted them and this is and that. And, you know, Ludwig Kaiser is on the mic and he's, you know, touting Gunther and how, you know, Riddle's an embarrassment and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are not worthy to be out there. And Gunther's there with all of his prestige. Trust me, tomorrow I got a lot to say about the uproar because of the general and the flags that were in it, that was shown at Night of Champions. Oh my God. I got some shit to say tomorrow about that. But you know, we get the comedy and Kevin Owens is like, you know, how come Baldy never talks? You do all the talking, you know, Slender Man does all the talking. How come Baldy never talks? Giovanni Vinci. So before anything happens, you know, we get a very long shoosh by Chad Gable. I mean, the longest shoosh that I have ever heard him do. So crowd pops. They are full-fledged baby faces now. Maxxine Dupri, Otis, Chad Gable. They start walking down the rampway. And Chad Gable, because Alpha Academy's having a match with Imperium tonight, so Chad Gable says to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, if you don't mind, we'll take care of it from here. We'll take care of business. We'll take it from here. And more comedy. Kevin Owens is like, all right, you could do it, but only one condition. You got to say that phrase, you know, the phrase that you say that, you know, you don't, you say it weird, you know, the way you say it, it's a, and it's, oh, thank you. So, you know, hey, listen, I can't besmirch Kevin Owens. You know, the guy is great. I mean, he has come a very long way. Remember when he first came up to the main roster? Remember the chewing? Remember how we just, it was like OCD for me with the chewing. And I shouldn't even joke about OCD because I talked to somebody 2 weeks ago that has severe OCD. And yeah, OCD, you don't know what OCD is until you talk to someone who truly has OCD. But, you know, Owens back in the day doing the chewing. And we even did that spoof of Eddie Murphy's song. Remember? Owens always chewing all the time, chewing all the time, chewing all the time. Thank God I wasn't doing video at that time. I would have done a music video and everything. But, you know, it's just a lot of over the top, a lot of joking tonight. Sammy and Kevin Owens on commentary was fun. It a lot of comedy, a lot of extreme comedy. In the end, Imperium gets the win. Valhalla shows up, and this is the distraction. Valhalla still is angry at Maxxine Dupri. Maxxine actually nails a kick to Valhalla. Valhalla no-sells it. Valhalla ends up chasing Maxxine to the back. This distracts Chad Gable for a few moments. Imperium gets the upper hand. Does get the hot tag to Otis. And Otis does hit the Caterpillar, but just when we thought, oh, you know, Alpha Academy may win this one, you remember, oh, Imperium is supposed to be feuded with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn next. That's why they're sitting in commentary area. So Otis and Chad Gable try to do a double team move. Otis runs to the ropes, and Vinci holds the ropes. Otis falls through it, and you get Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser to hit the Imperium Bomb for the win. And, you know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they were impressed with what they saw, but they made sure that Giovanni Vinci wipes his bald, sweaty head. So that was what it was. A lot of comedy, maybe a little bit forced, if you want to be a little honest about it, but I enjoyed the commentary work. I mean, overall, it was breath of fresh air. There were moments where Corey Graves said nothing. He said nothing. I mean, they just like, you know what? You guys just go with it. And they did a decent job. Raquel Rodriguez, Shotzi Blackheart, they're in the back. They get interrupted by Bayley and Io Sky. Once again, Io Sky not extremely thrilled about Bayley. Bayley is cracking jokes at how Raquel lost her other tag team partner, and they're going to do the same to Shotzi. And while Bayley is laughing it up, she goes like this to tap at Io, like, wasn't that funny? And Io's like, look at her, like, the fuck you slapping me for, bitch? Fuck you slapping me for? So we get the women's tag match, and I tell you, it was a fun match. Ronda Rousey is pretty much healed from her injury. There was a good series of moves towards the end of the match. Ronda Rousey with an armbar on Raquel Rodriguez. Bayley with a beautiful-looking elbow from the top rope to break it up. And the crowd was behind Bayley. You know, I mean, we know ultimately Bayley is going to turn on Io Sky, or Io Sky is going to just say, fuck you. She ain't going to curse on TV, but she's going to be like, fuck you. I quit. You know, no more damage control for me. So either she's going to leave or Bayley's going to make her leave. But the crowd wants to cheer Bayley again. You could feel it tonight in Albany. You could feel it. But there was one point towards the end of the match that we thought Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green had a legitimate chance of winning it. They had a great flurry of offense. Io Sky ends up breaking it up. She hit some offense in the ring, including a Meteora. And ultimately, Shotzi, you could see that it kept shifting to other tag teams. So then it shifted to Shotzi Blackheart. Shotzi Blackheart breaks up the three count. She takes out Bayley on the outside. So Bayley is a non-factor in this match. Io Sky ends up a non-factor in this match as well. Io is doing some offense. She sets up in the corner, and Ronda Rousey tags herself in. So Ronda Rousey is tied up with Io Sky in the corner, and here comes Shotzi Blackheart. She climbs the rope. They do this move with all three where it looks like a powerbomb or a suplex, you know, and two people are in the corner, and a third person like just like jumps, and they all come tumbling down. So they come tumbling down, and Ronda's laid out. Shotzi Blackheart thinks, here's my opening. So Shotzi climbs the top rope. Little did she know is that Ronda was fine and it was a trap. So Shotzi dives off the rope and Ronda catches her, puts her in the armbar. Shotzi taps out very, very quickly. And Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are your women's tag team champions. It was a fun little match. It was a fun little match. Although, like I said, there were some points where I honestly thought Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville may actually get it. Did not think Shotzi and Raquel had a shot. I mean, we've said for 2 weeks now that it was going to be Ronda Rousey. And in fact, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler were supposed to take on Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan in Saudi Arabia and win the tag titles there. And it didn't work because of the injury. And they did not want Raquel Rodriguez to wrestle by herself. And they even snuck in the Rhea Ripley-Natalya match in Saudi Arabia, which pissed off, you know, the panty waist out there. Nanny on a birthday. She lost in 90 seconds. This is going to be a little bit of a storyline, you know. And it's a storyline. You got to let it you may not like the storyline, but no, you don't sacrifice Rhea Ripley, her dominance right now. Just like, it's the same crowd that felt, you know what, Rhea Ripley could have lost to Zelina Vega in Puerto Rico. Can you imagine the pop Is it about the pop? Is that like the heroin high? Like, oh, I need to feel the pop. If Zelina Vega would have beat Rhea Ripley in Puerto Rico, could you imagine the pop? All the crying. Oh, that's not... No, and you fuck up Rhea Ripley, just like Mustafa Ali. And can anybody tell me why Mustafa Ali shouldn't have won the championship against Gunther? Because what the fuck happens when you come back to the United States in Albany and Mustafa Ali goes out there in the ring? You might get a polite crowd who'll say, you deserve it, and then what? And then what? You don't want Gunther feuding with Seth Rollins right now, where you know that there is anybody that feuds with Seth Rollins right now has no shot of winning the World Heavyweight Championship. You're not taking the championship off of Seth Rollins this soon. I think Drew McIntyre, very, 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 very likely to return. Remember, everyone, Money in the Bank is in London. You're going to have a UK, you know, overseas influence on this card. And it'll be really fucking interesting if Drew McIntyre ends up taking on Seth Rollins at Money in the Bank. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but especially if he goes overseas, you know. But if you notice, they did a profile on Drew McIntyre during Night of Champions. In fact, I think right at the end of Night of Champions, we had this big profile on Drew McIntyre. Now all you see that Cricket Wireless commercials. Now all of a sudden they're replaying all the Drew McIntyre ones. You know, strap to my legs. You know, whatever that fucking commercial is. You know, with the figures. Drew McIntyre is about to be returning. And I think he's going to play a major role in Money in the Bank. Especially when they go overseas. So, Cody Rhodes comes out. And he's got the cast. And... listen, if you heard our predictions, the only thing that we got wrong was Trish Stratus versus Becky, because we had no idea that Zoe Stark was going to be interfering in it. But everything that happened at Night of Champions with Cody Rhodes is exactly how we envisioned it, that it was going to be referee stoppage, that he was going to be in so much pain, but he was not going to tap out. He was not going to quit. It was almost going to be like Austin, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 13 without the blood, And it was referee stoppage. If it was up to Cody, the referee should have never stopped the match. That was the story. See, again, think back to the story when Dusty Rhodes had the cast and had it in the closet, and Cody opened the closet as a kid and found the cast in there. You know what's interesting? You know, I don't know if you've all seen this. I've seen it. But it's a small enough number that I don't tweet about it. There's a lot of things that I would love to tweet, even though it would get a mild response. But just to say a whole bunch of fuck yous to a bunch of people online that just make social media just awful. But have you noticed that some very young wrestling fans, and I'm not necessarily saying AEW fans, just young wrestling fans that didn't grow up in the Dusty era, or maybe didn't experience what Dusty was all about other than being a coach in NXT, or maybe, you know, for his short stay in Impact Wrestling. And when they hear older wrestling fans bringing up the chase, the destination, finish the story. Like, I saw people yesterday, and I'm going to vent on this Wednesday night. I'll give you a little sneak peek now. I felt so bad for Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander, if you remember, about a month ago, I said that she's about to return, and she is the person that is supposed to dethrone Jade Cargill. The only thing was, if she wasn't ready to return this soon, it would probably be an All In. But yesterday, because it just sounds cute and it's like a fuck you to WWE, I saw people out there getting thousands of likes saying, oh, Chris Statlander finished this story and Cody didn't. And I'm saying to myself, wow, you think that you're like celebrating Chris Statlander? You're basically sticking a finger up her ass right now and fucking causing her nothing but pain. Because trying to compare Chris Statlander showing up unannounced and pinning Jade Cargill, who is still new in this business, who has wrestled a lot of dark match indie circuit people, And then you compare it to Cody Rhodes trying to dethrone Roman Reigns' bloodline 3+ years and everything else. That's like, hey, I got a date tonight. Hey, Joe, what are you doing? Oh, I got a date tonight, too. Oh, I'm going to cook up a really good meal for my... I'm going to get a big hot meal for my girl, too. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to... And you'd, like, battle. And then I brag, like, oh, you still cooking? You didn't even... Oh, we ate already. What's wrong? But meanwhile, I went to fucking McDonald's, and this guy is fucking cooking a filet mignon in the oven with mushrooms and gravy and potatoes and all this other stuff. And me, I'm like, God, let me go to the drive-thru. And just because somebody finishes something first, you know, just doesn't mean that it makes more sense. And these people yesterday thought that they were, like, really supporting Chris Statlander, and all you did was just make her look like a fool comparing one to the other. So I'm seeing a lot of young wrestling fans that are, you know, like because they didn't experience the Dusty storyline and because they keep seeing older people like, oh, yeah, that's Dusty. Oh, him not giving up. You know, that's the broken arm. That's the, and because they're left out, and because they're caught with their weenies in their hands. You know, because remember when CM Punk played the Ring of Honor music? Guys, you don't have to reveal it publicly, but we know deep down inside, probably about 3% of wrestling fans out there knew CM Punk's Ring of Honor music. You know, but when he came out to that in AEW, you had all of these people online. You didn't know that was his Ring of Honor. How could you say you're a CM Punk fan, but you didn't know? And you know about 95% of those people had no fucking idea. They saw somebody else's tweet saying, oh, that's his Ring of Honor music. And like, oh, yeah, I knew that all along. So I see that with this Cody thing. And now I see tonight, Seth Rollins is more over than Cody. WWE is not doing a good job of Cody. There were a lot of wrestlers back in the day that were more over than the champions. Yeah, this is, you know, pretty bizarre. So Cody comes out there tonight, and he's got the cast on. He brings up the referee stoppage, caused his loss to Brock Lesnar. My contemporaries question why he didn't tap out. It's not the man I want to be. Years ago, I might have tapped out. There used to be a wildly popular superstar who used to say, never give up. And for people that are asking, it's John Cena. Cody has a question for Brock Lesnar, who it was not there tonight on Raw. Brock, are you satisfied that it's 1-1? Are you satisfied that you won due to referee stoppage? Consider this an open challenge to you. Brock Lesnar, I hope you have social media, TV, a landline. I'm going to mention it everywhere. I'll be standing there ready to fight you. I hope this is the last time I got to run down Brock Lesnar's career accolades and accomplishments. But then Cody Rhodes says, the beast was beast enough to break my arm, but he was not man enough to get me to tap out. If you don't accept my challenge, Brock Lesnar, you are afraid of Cody Rhodes. And there you go. There's the third match. That is now, will it happen at Money in a Bank? I think it could happen at Money in a Bank. I mean, Money in a Bank is in a month, and it's going to be a huge turnout. So it could very well happen in Money in a Bank. I personally think Money in a Bank makes a hell of a lot more sense because SummerSlam is still a long ways away. And you, the only reason why I could see them possibly holding off the SummerSlam is because the storyline is a broken arm. He's not going to turn into Iron Mike Sharp where he's got a cast for the next 15 years. You know, so the arm has got to heal. How long does it take to heal? Now, I didn't listen closely of what WWE said in storyline was the break. So I got to look online. It's probably a hairline fracture or something. So if you look online and it says no healing process, usually 4 weeks, then I could see possibly them doing it at Money in the Bank. But the third match is happening. And once that match goes down, then you got to start asking yourself, who's going to be the next deflection, or does it turn to Roman Reigns? And we have to see what happens. So the main event tonight, AJ Styles and Seth Rollins defeating Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Early on, there was a little bit of a tease. Some people thought that Rhea Ripley was going to be in the match. We know better. Rhea Ripley and Dominic are at ringside. They end up getting ejected from the match. But before that, we had a little bit of a comedy segment. And yes, if it gave you flashbacks of somebody else, yeah, it did for me as well. Seth Rollins, you know, a little bit of comedy tonight as well, but the way his character has been for the last couple of years, there's been a little bit of lighthearted goofiness. It's just that some people might have just not been as apparent tonight, but there was one moment where, if you look closely, Rhea Ripley thinks she's next to Dom Dom, and they turn around, and she freaks out. She's like, oh my God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And if any of you out there, it's like, you know, I remember seeing that once before. Let's look at it one more time. Yeah, there you go. He rolls out of the ring. Rhea Ripley has no idea. She looks and she freaks out. Yeah, shades of Shawn Michaels and Melina. Anybody remember this moment? And Melina is like ready to like a hug and everything. And she freaked out as well. It's happened more than once over the years. So, yeah, I just figured I'd share it with you. But excellent match. Loved the finish. Finn Balor knocked onto the announcer's table by Seth Rollins. Damian Priest going at it with AJ Styles in the ring. AJ Styles goes for the phenomenal forearm, and Damian Priest catches him, turns it into the razor's edge. And I hope they keep just the term razor's edge. You know, I know we've heard different terms for that move in the past, but I just leave it razor's edge as a tribute to Scott Hall, to Razor Ramon. But he hits the razor's edge. And as Damian Priest is pinning AJ Styles, not only does Seth Rollins break up the pin, but just picture Damian Priest covering AJ Styles, and Seth Rollins breaks up the pin by curb stomping Damian Priest. It looked tremendous on TV. Damian Priest is knocked for a loop. AJ Styles trying to get to the corner. Seth Rollins wants the hot tag, finally gets tagged in, hits the curb stomp, pins Damian Priest. I don't consider Damian Priest the Scott Hall wannabe in no way, shape, or form. He's Latino, and, you know, Scott Hall played Latino, and, you know, if you emulate, look at yesterday's Four Pillars match. There was one moment in the match where every single one of the pillars hit their finisher of their, I don't want to call it their mentor, but people that mentored them. You know, you had every wrestler from, you know, from Darby doing Sting's move to MJF doing Cody's move. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Showing a little bit of respect and tribute to people from yesteryear, as long as you're your own person, love it. So you're not going to get me to complain just to complain. I know that's for other places out there. You know, Damian Priest loses nothing tonight, even though he got pinned. They got much bigger things planned for Damian Priest down the line. It's just, you got to understand, like I've said before, Seth Rollins is not going to drop the World Heavyweight Championship anytime soon. Roman Reigns is obviously not going to lose it to anybody but Cody Rhodes. You all could think Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Solo, don't call me Sokoa anymore. You could choose anybody you want. It's Cody Rhodes. It ain't changing. But Damian Priest right now, you got to realize he's on Raw. Outside of Seth Rollins, you have Gunther. So the only thing that is going to be in the near future would probably be tag team gold. And remember, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have two sets of championships. They're not going to drop the SmackDown tag team titles against the Raw team. Makes no sense. I think ultimately they will announce an episode of SmackDown where, because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are the SmackDown tag champs, they have to defend those championships. And remember, they teased it. It was only a couple of months ago that they teased it. They did a tournament on SmackDown, and they did a tournament. Didn't Ricochet and Braun Strowman win the tournament on SmackDown? And didn't Judgment Day win the tournament on Raw? And didn't Finn Balor, he couldn't work in the match, so Dominic Mysterio took his place? maybe I'm, you know, remembering it wrong, but my point is, you know, sooner or later, they're going to announce that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn must appear on SmackDown and must defend the tag team championships. Will they do a tournament? Probably. Makes most sense. We all like tournaments. You kind of feel like maybe AEW, if there was a time to do a tournament to crown a new women's champion, and I'm not talking about the TBS championship, I'm talking about Jamie Hayter's belt. You almost feel like they should have done that instead of, you know, just giving it to Tony Storm. Yeah, we'll talk about that on Wednesday. But that was your episode of Raw tonight. It was a decent show. I enjoyed it overall. I'm really looking forward to NXT tomorrow to see who the masked person is. Will it be Mandy Rose? Will it be Alexa Bliss? And like I said, this picture right here of Mandy Rose hanging out with Cora Jade and what's her face? Oh, my God. Oh, J.C. Jane. I almost drew a blank. I've been up since early this morning. That photo is from last week. There's a story behind that photo, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. But this Friday on SmackDown, we have two more qualifying matches. Lacey Evans and Zelina Vega will be going at it. And we also have LA Knight and Montez Ford, which is pissing off a lot of people because they thought that those two guys were going to be in the ladder match. Hey, maybe they both get disqualified. But why would they be rewarded by being both put in the match? I don't know. Maybe we get double outside interference. Who knows? And then, obviously, on Friday, they're going to celebrate Roman Reigns' 1,000 days as champion. On this Saturday's episode of the Don Tony Show, we'll be talking a little bit more about Roman Reigns' reign and where we realistically see where it's going to shift. And the cool thing about Saturday is Friday SmackDown would have happened already. So we'll see what happens next with the Usos. Because Jimmy Uso, you know, super kicking Roman Reigns those couple of times, you know, that's the next chapter in that storyline. And now Jey Uso is going to be caught in the middle, and that's going to lead to more drama. So, all right, two more things before we get out of here. Actually, three. I jumped the gun with something in This Week in Wrestling History. Last week, I said that last week's episode, one of the highlights was Arn Anderson getting pissed on Monday Night Raw. That is an actual screenshot. It's actually this week's episode. I thought it was last week's episode, but it's not. But here's a couple of pictorial photos. I think this is the anniversary of the Rockers getting signed by WWE and fired the next day and then re-signing almost a year to the day later on. I think this is Brother Love's debut. What else we got? We got, oh, yes, they think Dusty Rhodes debuts as the Common Man, Rocky Maivia. Look at Booker T with boxing gloves. What's that all about? Oh, I know what it's all about, but yeah, you got, oh, look at Seth Rollins. What's that all about? I think Broken Matt. I think this might be the anniversary of Broken Matt. And, oh, one of my favorites of all time. It's the anniversary. Look at Alexa Bliss. She looked so much different back then. Remember Bayley, This Is Your Life? Yeah, and a bunch of TNA Hall of Fame moments. So, pretty cool. Pretty cool. This week in wrestling history, he's got a lot of great memories, a lot of moments on there. Wanted to just get into some quick ratings, and I just want to do a quick rest in peace about someone that if you lived in the UK, you know about it. If you lived in the United States, you probably never heard of this person before. I have heard of him. I never really had any reason to know much about him, but definitely disrespectful if I don't wish a rest in peace. Somebody that passed away over the weekend. But now, as far as ratings go, The SmackDown rating for this week, I don't have the final number, but I was given a rating tonight And it's not the overnights either. This is the unofficial rating for Friday SmackDown. And, you know, it's a little down from the week prior, which to me makes total sense because SmackDown this past Friday was recorded. We all knew the spoilers a week in advance. And I'm not going to lie, I just skimmed through SmackDown on Saturday. I did not watch the whole thing. But Stone Cold takes on America, that took a pretty big drop yesterday because of the fact that NXT was on, AEW was on. But Stone Cold Takes on America did 177,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior is 277. SmackDown from Friday did 2,044,000. That is down from the week prior is 2,133,000. Rampage, no number is in yet. It is delayed because of the Memorial Day holiday. The week prior was 293. Impact Wrestling this past Thursday did 116,000 viewers, slightly up from the week prior is 109,000. New Japan Pro Wrestling this past Thursday did 63,000 viewers. That is slightly up from the week prior is 51,000. Dynamite this past Wednesday did 846,000. That is up from the week prior is 814. There is no All Access. There is no MLW. NXT this past Tuesday did 578,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior is 564. And last Monday's Raw did 1,638,000 viewers. That is down from 1,716,000. I expect today's rating to be kind of horrible tonight, especially because of the fact that we had the, wasn't it Game 7 of the NBA playoffs? Was it the Celtics and Miami? I think it might have been, but they absolutely were going to definitely be affected by the playoffs tonight. I know enough wrestling fans tonight that said, I ain't watching Raw. I'm watching the playoffs. I'll watch Raw on the replay. So, all right, before we get out of here, I just want to give a little rest in peace to someone by the name of Brian Dixon, 75 years old. If you don't know who Brian Dixon is, on a smaller level, maybe the Vince McMahon of UK pro wrestling, British pro wrestling. He was 75 years old. Now, from the research that I have done on this guy, he was a referee up until around 1970 when he was about 22 years old. And in 1970, he started All-Star Wrestling. I think the company name was called Wrestling Enterprises, but it was Wrestling Enterprises doing business as All-Star Wrestling. And believe me when I tell you, I mean, this is just one of what the cards used to look like back in the day. I could tell you that Austin Idol, all over those shows, Kendo Nakasaki, Squire Dave Taylor, William Regal, you go on and on and on. A lot of wrestlers had an opportunity early on in their career to wrestle for this guy. And, you know, he was very, very revered, very, very beloved. And All-Star Wrestling is still going to this day. And by the way, here's another thing that is pretty cool. Now, I was going to flood you with a whole bunch of billboards, but you could just do a Google image search if you want to go check it out. If you look at all of his billboards, now the one I'm showing on the screen right now is from 1987, but if you look at 1977, if you look at 1972, if you look at 1990s, you will see the name Miss Mitzi Mueller always on the banners, 95% of the time getting big press on these banners. And back in the day, he would advertise women's wrestling as the main event on a lot of his cards. Mitzi Mueller was his wife. And that's why, yeah, you know, he featured his wife predominantly. But I tell you, the more I did research about the guy, and I've heard of his name before because a lot of wrestlers coming up, when they would always do interviews and talk about, you know, when they first broke in I'm telling you, a lot of wrestlers from the UK all came out this weekend and said, you know, I got my early breakthrough, Billy Dixon, and he gave me an opportunity. Brian Dixon, he gave me an opportunity. And, you know, if it wasn't for him and this and that, a lot of wrestlers paying a lot. Fit Finley, another one that got a lot of opportunity through Brian Dixon. And, you know, the more I researched, I would always see women's wrestling. And it was funny because the older the banners go, you see on the banners, girls, 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 like, you know, trying to use this you know, the sexiness of the women to pull it in. Because wrestling was always, you know, a male-dominated sport, and majority of the fans who attended were male. And listen, back in the 70s and the 80s, the average audience was older. You know, I remember going to the Garden in the mid-80s and looking around, and I felt like I was, like, surrounded by, like, people who were old enough to be my grandmother and my grandfather. When my grandmother and my uncle used to work at Ridgewood Grove Arena, and we would go to the card. I mean, you would have kids there, no question, but majority of the crowd, guys in their 70s, you'd smell cigars. You know, women that you could just tell that they're so old and disabled that they can't, like, climb into a bathtub anymore. And they just, all you smelled was hairspray, deodorant, and old sweat. That's what I remember. I'm not joking either. You go back to the Garden at that time, you get, like, the smell of pretzels and this and that too. But, man, you would smell sweat. You would smell sweat more than anything else. And it wasn't always just from the wrestlers. But I just wanted to make mention of him because he very, very, very important wrestling promoter for British wrestling. And he's getting a lot of press over the weekend. So he passed away 75 years old. Rest in peace, Brian Dixon. So I am out of here, guys. Much love as always. Before I get out of here, I got a super shout out that came in earlier. Much thanks. Many thanks to Liam Savage. Thank you for the 550. I'm back after my old account was suspended. Glad to be back, DT. Thanks for keeping up with the amazing content. The original wrestling podcaster. I appreciate that. I ain't going anywhere. But obviously, you know, we have to always keep, you know, current and try to reorganize. And like I said, there's going to be some changes here. There's going to be some changes on DonTony.com. But one thing is for certain is the content ain't going anywhere. But definitely want to tighten it up to give people a more of an opportunity to catch as much content as possible. I don't expect most of you out there to tune into 15 hours of shows a week. And there's a lot of other people that you support as well. So, you know, I'd rather do a little bit shorter, stay on point, get into the moment. Listen, a lot of what's happening in the last 72 hours, we've talked about it ad nauseum over the last couple of weeks. No reason for us to keep talking about it. Even the Collision stuff, what Tony Khan revealed at the media scrum yesterday, that Collision is just part of the current deal. He's getting some extra fees because it's more programming. We talked about that a week and a half ago. So, you know, we unfortunately, I think the problem that we get here is we talk about things so far in advance, doesn't become news anymore. You know, so, you know, it is what it is. But I thank you for that, Liam, and I thank you all for joining me tonight. So if you're part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, cheap plug. Kevin and I will be live tomorrow at 10:05. We're going to recap WWE Night of Champions. Probably going to also talk about NXT Battleground, especially if the reveal ends up being who we think it is tomorrow in NXT. So that'll be available for everybody tomorrow night around midnight, maybe a little bit later, depending on what time we finish. And then Wednesday Night Dynamite, that'll be posted on DonTony.com around midnight as well. And for the channel members here on YouTube, you will get it too. That'll be on DonTony.com. And then in a day or two, for everybody, we'll get a posted thread for the Q&A. I'm going to record the next Q&A next Thursday. So if you want to be part of the Q&A, you definitely have an opportunity to do so. Our channel members obviously get a little VIP treatment, but that's expected. I mean, you know, they help keep this in business. Patreon family, channel members, anybody, you know, you all, in some way, shape, or form. That's why I always say, if you know anyone who liked the channel, let them know about it. If you like the audio versions, download the audio versions. You know, that helps more than anything. People keep telling me over and over again, DT, put all your things in one spot. Let all the numbers, it's too spread out. That's why you rank 50 instead of 20 and this and that. If Blue Wire tells me I got to do it, then I got no choice. Then here gets shut down, channel members only. But, you know, at this stage in the game, we have to maximize the time that we are with each other. And, yeah. I hope everybody has a good one. So much love, everyone. I'll catch you all again later this week. You all be well, and I'm out of here.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.